welcome back to Weird on the Rocks. This is a podcast that explores the weird, unusual, strange, and unexplained, all while getting our drink on. I'm your host, Katie. Today's episode is going to be a really fun one because I'm going to be discussing Bigfoot. I live in the middle of what many call Bigfoot country. I'm from Humboldt County, which is very far up in Northern California. It's less than 2 hours from the Oregon border. I've known about Bigfoot since I was a really little girl and have heard many stories about him. If you're around my age, you probably remember the 1987 classic movie Harry and the Hendersons, starring John Lithgow. This movie shows a family that, while out in the woods, hits a Bigfoot with their car and brings him home, and he becomes part of the family. I remember absolutely loving this movie growing up, and I rented it very regularly, and I think it definitely encouraged my fascination about Bigfoot. My family actually has a summer spot near the small town of Willow Creek, somewhere that many have claimed to have seen Bigfoot over the years. My parents never really believed in Bigfoot, but my dad is a lot like me and is very open-minded about things of the unknown. So Bigfoot and his existence was definitely talked about in my family growing up. My best friend also has a dad that liked to talk about Bigfoot a lot when we were younger, and I honestly think that he got some kicks out of scaring us. He would tell us this story about hearing huge branches breaking in the middle of the night and hearing an animal screaming so loudly that it could be heard for miles. And I always was reminded of this story when I was in the woods as a little girl. And I was very aware of the fact that Bigfoot might be real and that he might be watching us. I just remember always being in the woods, having that feeling, looking around me, wondering if something was behind me or following us. Up here in Humboldt County, and especially in the small town of Willow Creek, Bigfoot imagery is seen everywhere. We have a place called the Bigfoot Tap Room, Bigfoot Steakhouse, Bigfoot Rafting, and there's a restaurant that makes a Bigfoot burger served on a huge foot-shaped hamburger bun. Willow Creek is also home to the Bigfoot Days community event and the Bigfoot Museum, which is complete with a huge wooden Bigfoot out front. So if you ever watch documentaries or videos or anything about Bigfoot, Willow Creek is usually mentioned or seen in the film. Many episodes of the Animal Planet show Finding Bigfoot have been filmed here, and in 2013, the indie movie Willow Creek about Bigfoot was filmed here too. Every region in the U.S. seems to have its own tales of mysterious creatures. The Great Lakes has something called Bessie, which is a snake-like creature that supposedly inhabits Lake Erie. The East Coast has the Jersey Devil, which is a winged and hoofed creature from New Jersey. In West Virginia, people have seen an enormous winged bird man called Mothman, and there are dozens more across the country. But here in Northern California and the Pacific Northwest, we have Bigfoot. I'm hoping that if you're listening and you're not from Bigfoot country or even super familiar with it, that you'll still find today's episode interesting. The topic of Bigfoot is something I've always been intrigued with and something I love talking to locals about. When I meet someone new, it's one of the first questions I ask, along with, do you believe in aliens? Because I enjoy hearing people's differing opinions on the matter and their reasoning behind why or why not they believe in Bigfoot. A study done in 2014 by Chapman University found that 20% of adult Americans believe in Bigfoot, but I believe that that number is definitely much higher where I live and definitely higher as you travel north into the Pacific Northwest in Oregon, Washington, and Canada. Recently, I put polls up on my website and my Instagram that asked if you guys believe in Bigfoot or not, and the results were actually kind of surprising. My Instagram poll showed that 44% of people believe in Bigfoot and 56% do not, and my website poll showed that 60% of people believe in Bigfoot. Now, obviously, my polls aren't large enough to get real statistical information, but those numbers were actually higher than I thought they would be, and it got me even more excited to start researching this episode. So in today's episode, I'm going to be talking about what exactly Bigfoot is, the history of Bigfoot, and I'm also going to be reading some real life stories from people who believe they have had encounters with the creature. And before we get going today, I want to share another podcast promo with you guys. This one comes from my friends over at the True Crime Snack Time podcast, and their show is actually a daily show, so it's kind of cool. Let's give their trailer a listen.
Are you a true crime addict? Do you find yourself talking serial killers and missing persons at parties only to be met with uncomfortable smiles? Well, find your tribe on True Crime Snack Time, a daily podcast that gives you a little true crime snack to chew on. From January 1st to December 31st, you'll find out what happened on this day in true crime. Short, sweet, and chock full of crime, join me, Allison, on True Crime Snack Time. We're available wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Follow True Crime Snack Time on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Crime Snack Pod. And remember, keep your friends close and your snacks closer.
If you would like to find my show, I'm on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. Please subscribe wherever you're listening now and rate and review the show on iTunes. Before we get into the good stuff, I want to share this week's beverage of choice. Tonight, I am drinking a blackberry basil mojito. It has rum, sugar, lime juice, club soda, basil, and blackberries. I chose it this week because up here we have tons of blackberries around. And if Bigfoot is real and out there in the woods somewhere right now as we speak, he most definitely eats blackberries. So I thought it was appropriate for this episode. This drink is so freaking good. I'm definitely going to make these again. All right, cheers, and let's get weird. So what exactly is Bigfoot? The Bigfoot Wikipedia page describes the creature as, quote, "In North American folklore, Bigfoot or Sasquatch are said to be hairy, upright walking, ape-like creatures that dwell in the wilderness and leave footprints. Depictions often portray them as a missing link between humans and human ancestors or other great apes. They are strongly associated with the Pacific Northwest, particularly Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, and individuals claim to see the creatures across North America," end quote. Many believers of Bigfoot simply call themselves Bigfooters or Squatchers, and there are millions of them across North America, and there are countless groups dedicated to the belief and study of this creature. Many Bigfooters spend their whole lives in search of the elusive creature, buying expensive camping equipment and spending their weekends out in the woods, hoping to get a peek at one. In general, Bigfooters believe that Bigfoot or Sasquatch is a primate species that lives in North America. They are bipedal, which means they can stand upright and walk on 2 feet. They are usually 7 to 9 feet tall and weigh between 600 and 900 pounds with a 17-inch foot. They are covered in hair from head to toe and usually live in California, Oregon, Washington, and Canada. However, sightings have happened all across North America in every state except Hawaii. They are considered to be very isolated creatures living deep in woods that humans can't reach, and there supposedly are 2,000 of them living in North America. They are thought to be vegetarians and eat berries, leaves, and roots. They live together in groups, and they sleep in communal nests made of branches and twigs. Creatures such as Bigfoot are referred to as cryptids. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary defines a cryptid as, quote, an animal such as Sasquatch or the Loch Ness Monster that has been claimed to exist but never proven to exist. Contrary to popular belief, cryptids don't have to be supernatural, mythical, or even all that strange, though many popular creatures acquire these characteristics as their legends grow, end quote. In other words, a cryptid is a creature that is known about only through anecdotal evidence, not through scientific evidence. Stories of Bigfoot have been around for centuries, and Bigfoot goes by several different names given to him by different groups of people throughout the United States and Canada, and many Native tribes have stories and folklore about large human-like creatures. In fact, the name Bigfoot wasn't even used until 1958, and the creature was most commonly referred to as Sasquatch, meaning hairy giant, in the Halkomelem language, which was spoken by Native tribes in the Pacific Northwest and British Columbia. The Kwakoodle tribe has the legend of Zunukwa, a big hairy female that lives deep in the forest. They believe that she is rarely seen because she is busy protecting her offspring and sleeping. In California, drawings in caves left behind by the Yukon tribe depict a large hairy creature similar to Bigfoot that they called Mayak Darat. Some Native tribes believed that Bigfoot was a shy and timid creature who sometimes liked to play tricks on humans or take things that weren't theirs. However, many also believed that he was more of a malevolent monster who wished harm upon humans and often stole small children and ate humans. The Otna tribe of Alaska includes folklore of a creature they called Tsleil-Waututh, or Bush Indian. This was a large hairy creature that was aggressive and liked to take children. And stories from the Lakota and Dakota tribes include a large, shaggy woodland creature they called Chiyenantka, which meant big elder brother. There are also many tribes who believe that Sasquatch had supernatural powers, such as healing humans and being able to make themselves invisible around humans. And today, there are some who believe that there is a good reason we never see Bigfoot and have never found a body. And it's not that they can just make themselves invisible. It's because Bigfoot is really an alien. In fact, this theory was recently discussed at the Greater New England UFO Conference. Paranormal researcher William Hall explained that the three things in life people claim to see without evidence are ghosts, aliens, and Bigfoot, and that these things could quite possibly all be connected. Hall said, quote, many of the classic signs from human encounters with otherworldly beings, ghosts, aliens, and Bigfoot, have similar signs, be they disappearing beings, fast-moving objects, or strange lights. As a result, many are starting to think of the fields holistically. It used to be that the UFO people didn't talk to the ghost people because they were a little weird, and nobody would talk to the Bigfoot people because they were crazy. I found out we cannot continue to do that. In reality, quantum physics is leading us there, end quote. Believers of the alien theory think that Sasquatch is able to enter and leave our atmosphere through portals, just like other types of aliens. In fact, in 2012, NASA made an announcement that there might be hidden portals in Earth's magnetic field, and many believe that this is how Bigfoot is able to visit Earth. Nobody is sure what Bigfoot's purpose is here, but it could range from trying to help us humans to studying us and our way of life. Some individuals hunting or camping in areas where Bigfoot encounters have happened in the past have also reported seeing something else strange and unknown, little orange orbs floating around. Supposedly, these reports of orange orbs date back to the 1970s, and some researchers think that they may somehow be connected to Bigfoot. Modern-day Bigfoot encounter stories date back to the 1800s. In 1811, explorer David Thompson was attempting to cross the Rocky Mountains and was in the area of what is now Jasper, Alberta. An excerpt was taken from his journal that said, quote, I saw the track of a large animal, had four large toes about 3 or 4 inches long and a small nail at the end of each. The ball of his foot sank about 3 inches deeper than his toes. The hinder part of his foot did not mark well. The hole is about 14 inches long by 8 inches wide. End quote. In another journal entry, he recalled his memory from that day that he saw the footprints, writing, quote, "In company of men and four hunters on one of the channels of the river, we came to the track of a large animal, which measured 14 inches in length and 8 inches in breadth. As snow was about 6 inches in depth, the track was well defined and we could see it for a full 100 yards from us. This animal was proceeding from north to south. We did not attempt to follow it. We had not time for it. And the hunters, eager as they are to follow and shoot every animal, made no attempt to follow this beast. For what could the balls of our fouling guns do against such an animal?" End quote. With the prospect of gold in the California hills, people began moving to Bigfoot country. In 1910, two miners were found with their heads ripped off, and newspapers began speculating that a creature they were calling either Wild Man or Bear Man was to blame for their gruesome deaths. In the 1920s, stories of encounters with unknown wild creatures began to increase, with three major stories being reported in the year 1924 alone. In 1924, prospector Albert Osman was visiting the area of Toba Inlet, British Columbia. He had heard rumors of man-beasts in the area, but didn't believe the stories and wasn't scared to be alone in the woods. Osman claims that while he was sleeping in his sleeping bag, he was picked up by a Sasquatch and carried in his arms for close to 3 hours. He said the creature finally put him down on the ground where he saw four other Sasquatches, three adults and one child. He claims that for the next 6 days, the Sasquatch family held him captive. He explained that the female creature washed and stacked leaves and gave him sweet grass to eat. He said that the creatures were at least 8 feet tall and ate grass, roots, and spruce tips. Ostman said that he had a gun with him, but he didn't want to hurt the creatures. Instead, he escaped one night by giving the head Sasquatch some of his chewing tobacco, which made the creature groggy, and he was able to run away. Ostman didn't tell his story for 33 years in fear of being called crazy. When he did finally decide to share his story in 1957, he was questioned by an officer who wrote in an affidavit, quote, "I found Mr. Osman to be a man of 64 years of age, in full possession of his mental faculties, of pleasant manner, and with a good sense of humor. I questioned Mr. Osman thoroughly in reference to the story given. I cross-examined him and used every means to endeavor to find a flaw in either his personality or his story, but couldn't find either." End quote. The same year as Albert Osman's Bigfoot encounter, a group of miners near Mount St. Helens in Washington claimed they were attacked at night by a group of ape men, as they called them. The creatures were banging on the walls of their cabin, yelling loudly, scratching and breaking branches. They said this attack lasted all night and into the morning. They contacted the police and shared their story, and one of the men confessed that earlier that day, they had seen one of the creatures and shot at it, and they believe its friends or family attacked them as revenge. And in that same year of 1924, another prospector in Mount St. Helens area reported to a forest ranger that he had been awoken during the night to someone throwing rocks at his cabin. He looked outside to see a group of Sasquatches surrounding him and that they were screaming loudly like apes. The man said that he hid under his bed until morning. Between the years of 1925 and 1957, claims of Bigfoot encounters seemed to dwindle, with no new sightings being made public. Then, in 1958, a bulldozer operator here in Humboldt County named Jerry Crew claimed to have found a Bigfoot footprint that he had casted. He wrote into the Humboldt Times, which was a local paper at the time, and shared his story. Journalist Andrew Gonzoli wrote an article titled "Giant Footprints Puzzle Residents Along Trinity River," and in it said jokingly, quote, "Maybe we have a relative of the abominable snowman of the Himalayas," end quote. Jerry Crew also brought the footprint cast that he had made into the newspaper office and had his photo taken with it. It measured 18 inches long and 7 inches wide. This article exploded and people began to write into the paper asking for more information. Journalist Gonzoli did a follow-up article and this time included the name that Jerry Crew was calling the creature, Bigfoot. This 1958 article is the first known use of the term Bigfoot. 9 years later, in 1967, the most well-known Bigfoot encounter in history took place, and again, it happened here in Humboldt County. On the afternoon of Friday, October 20th, 1967, friends Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin were riding horses on a riverbed in Bluff Creek. Patterson and Gimlin came across a large overturned tree with a massive pile of trees and debris stacked against it, left over from a huge flood that had happened 3 years prior. As they continued to ride by and observe the tree pile, they suddenly saw a large, hairy creature. In later interviews, they described the creature as being about 6 feet tall. Patterson's horse was immediately spooked and raised up on its back legs. He got off the horse, calmed it down slightly, and retrieved his camera from his bag. Patterson turned the camera on and began to run toward the creature, yelling, "Cover me!" to his friend Gimlin, which he said meant for Gimlin to get the gun ready. Patterson was able to record a 60-second video of the creature, which showed it walking and looking back over its shoulder at the men several times. If you have never seen this footage and you're able to access your phone or computer right now, please go watch it on YouTube. I also included still images from the film on my Facebook and Instagram. When asked about the expression on the creature's face and the feeling it gave him, Patterson said, quote, "contempt and disgust. You know how it is when the umpire tells you one more word and you're out of the game? That's the way it felt," end quote. The creature walked into some trees and disappears for 14 seconds, then reappears, then moves back into the woods, and the camera film runs out. The men got back on their horses, retrieved the backup roll of film, and then recorded the tracks that the creature had left behind. They then returned to their campsite, drove into town, and bought plaster, then returned and took casts of both the left and right feet. In the 53 years since the film was made, there has been a lot of doubt and criticism about the footage. Many believe that the film is a complete hoax and that the creature seen is simply either Patterson or Gimlin wearing a gorilla suit and that they made this film to get rich. However, the film has never been actually ruled as a hoax, and many believe it to be the most clear footage of a Bigfoot to this day. Roger Patterson died just 4 years later in 1972 from cancer and was adamant until the day he died that this footage was real. Bob Gimlin is still alive and also is still firm in his claim that this film is authentic. The closest that Gimlin ever got to confessing it was a hoax was during a phone interview in 1999 where he said, quote, "I was totally convinced no one could fool me. And of course, I'm an older man now, and I think there could have been a possibility of a hoax, but it would have to be really well planned by Roger Patterson," end quote. Gimlin has also expressed that the film ruined his life, so to speak, because people, including his own friends and family, thought he was crazy, and he eventually had to move out of the area. In the years since, the footage has been slowed down, played backwards, and examined slide by slide. Dozens of scientists, ranging from forensic examiners to biomechanic professors, have analyzed the famous tape, and a large majority of them actually believe that this film might be the real deal. Grover Krantz, an anthropologist and cryptozoologist, was originally shown still images from the film and believed it to not be real. However, once he studied the footage, he changed his mind. He believed that the size, shape, and motion of the creature could not be human. He said, quote, "The subject's toes lift off the soil at least 10 inches in every walking cycle. There have been studies of how modern man walks, finding a maximum of 2 to 3 inches of distance between toes and the surface it is walking over. No human has yet replicated this 10-inch high lower leg lift while maintaining the smoothness, posture, and stride length of this creature," end quote. Jessica Rose and James Gamble run the Motion and Gait Analysis Lab at Stanford University and wrote the book, The Definitive Text on Human Gait. Gait being spelled G-A-I-T and meaning a person's manner of walking. They too analyzed the Patterson-Gimlin film. They recreated a high-tech human replication of the creature shown in the footage. However, their experiment was inconclusive, and they said, quote, "Some aspects of the creature's walk have been replicated, but not all. You can see the gait test could not replicate all parameters of the gait, end quote. Many scientists have also pointed out that the width of the creature's shoulders, which is estimated to be 35% of its full standing height, is much too broad to be a human. In fact, Andre the Giant only had a shoulder width of 24%, and a 35% ratio is physically impossible for a person. However, there are many who can't say for certain whether they believe the footage to be authentic or not. Anthropologist David Dangling of the University of Florida said about the film, quote, "Based on our analysis of gait and problems inherent in estimating subject dimensions, it is our opinion that it is not possible to evaluate the identity of the film subject with any confidence," end quote. And primate expert John Napier said, quote, "I am convinced that Sasquatch exists, but there is little doubt that the scientific evidence taken collectively points to a hoax of some kind. The creature shown in the film does not stand up well to functional analysis. I could not see the zipper, and I still can't. There I think we must leave the matter. Perhaps it was a man dressed up in a monkey suit. If so, it was a brilliantly executed hoax, and the unknown perpetrator will take his place with the great hoaxers of the world," end quote. There is, however, one thing that most scientists and experts can agree on when it comes to the Patterson-Gimlin film, and that is that the creature shown is a female. In fact, this idea is so widely believed that she has a name, Patty. This belief is due to the shape of the creature and the existence of what appears to be breasts. Anthropologist and cryptozoologist Grover Krantz describes the creature as having, quote, "large, pendulous, hairy breasts," end quote. The simple fact that the creature has breasts has made many believe it must be real and not a hoax. Many point out the fact that you can't just go buy a gorilla suit that has breasts on it. And if Patterson and Gimlin created the suit, why would they go through the trouble of constructing breasts when it would be much easier just to not include them? But the footage taken that day wasn't the only thing scientists have studied. Patty also left behind some footprints that Patterson and Gimlin had cast in. Primate expert John Napier had his doubts about the prints, saying, quote, "First, the length of the footprints are totally at variance with its calculated height. Second, the footprints are of the hourglass type, which I am suspicious of," end quote. And Esteban Sarmiento, a physical anthropologist, pointed out some differences between the feet and hands of the creature, saying, quote, "I did find some inconsistencies in appearance and behavior that might suggest a fake, but nothing that conclusively shows that this is the case. The plantar surface of the feet is decidedly pale, but the palm of the hand seems to be dark. There is no mammal I know of in which the plantar sole differs so drastically in color from the palm," end quote. However, Cliff Barachman, co-host of the Animal Planet show Finding Bigfoot and a professional Bigfoot researcher, believes the prints to be real and said, quote, "The trailing leg of the creature shows a great flexibility in the foot. There are a few frames there where we see Patty take her heel off the ground, but yet keep the entire forefoot in touch with the ground. One of the footprints showed a very distinctive pressure ridge, a push-off that comes about as a result of the very flexible midfoot," end quote. And in fact, most of the footprint casts that supposedly belong to Bigfoot and have been taken from all over the country have this same pressure ridge or arch seen in the print. But the Patterson-Gimlin film isn't the only footage we have of a supposed Bigfoot. With the constant access to phones and cameras, hundreds of videos and images from all over North America have been taken and shared on the internet. In 2001, Jim Mills, leader of the youth group Campus Life, took a video while on their annual backpacking trip. The video was shot in the Marble Mountains in Siskiyou County, about 100 miles from Humboldt County. The video shows the group wandering upon a big pile of brush that appears to be a shelter of some sort. They then see a large figure walking in the distance, and Jim Mills shakily zooms in to see the figure moving down a ridge. Again, if you're able to access a phone or computer, please search for Marble Mountain Bigfoot and watch the video for yourself. Many Bigfoot researchers and enthusiasts online have pointed out odd things from the video. video, such as the group immediately assuming the shelter was made by an animal and not by a hunter who was trying to camouflage themselves, something which is very common. And when the camera pans to the figure on the mountain, the group immediately begins referring to it as Bigfoot, even though they haven't said it was a Bigfoot yet. Many also point out the gait of the creature and say that it is much too human-like, as the creature is walking slowly, looking down at its feet as it walks, as if being careful not to trip. Although some believe this footage to be authentic, the majority of Bigfooters believe it to be completely fake. Another well-known piece of footage is referred to as the Independence Day film. The video was uploaded to YouTube in 2016, but its location and filmmaker are unknown. This grainy video shows a creature walking behind some rocks, bending down and picking up a baby Bigfoot before disappearing into the woods. Many believe that the video was made by author and famed conspiracy theorist Leroy Blevins, who made the video to rival the Patterson-Gimlin film. However, Blevins said that it wasn't him who made it, and in turn, blamed a Bigfoot Facebook group for its creation. But no matter who made it, consensus online is that it is a hoax, and that when zoomed in, you can see the seam of a gorilla suit. And these are just a few of the hundreds of videos you can find online that supposedly capture a Sasquatch. However, most believe that these videos are fake and that to this day, the Patterson-Gimlin film remains to be considered the most authentic. So are these hundreds of videos that have been filmed and footprints that have been casted and photographed enough evidence to prove that Bigfoot is real? While some say yes, others believe that we need more concrete scientific evidence to prove the existence of Sasquatch, such as DNA. So, do we have any Bigfoot DNA? The first talk of testing for Bigfoot DNA happened in 1977 when Peter Byrne, director of the Bigfoot Information Center and Exhibition, sent the FBI some hairs attached to a small piece of skin. Jay Cochran, assistant director of the FBI's Scientific and Technical Services Division, wrote back to Byrne that the FBI did not do things of this nature and usually only examined evidence from crime scenes, but that he would make an exception for the interest of research and scientific inquiry. Cochran ran the hairs and determined that they did not belong to Bigfoot, but instead were from some kind of deer. Although he was trying to do a favor for Byrne, this action on behalf of the FBI caused many to believe that the FBI itself were believers of Bigfoot, leading to skepticism of the Bureau. And in the 43 years since this FBI test, dozens of DNA samples supposedly belonging to Sasquatch have been tested. In 2012, veterinarian Melba Ketchum, director of the company DNA Diagnostics in Texas, revealed her findings from a five-year-long study. For this study, Ketchum used blood, urine, saliva, and hair samples taken from supposed Bigfoot sightings, as well as samples found in piles of brush. Bigfoot experts believe that the creatures construct large nests made out of branches and leaves where they sleep together as families, and that these nests are the prime spot to find DNA. Dr. Ketchum explained that she didn't believe in Bigfoot, but that the findings of her study caused her to change her mind. She said, quote, "Well, it came to me. I didn't go after it, that's for sure. I did not believe in these creatures, but my lab did a lot of animal testing and we did species identification. We didn't have any hits on anything interesting until 5 years ago," end quote. The study apparently discovered that these DNA samples were from an unknown primate species and that Sasquatch is real and a result of primates mating with female humans. The study states, quote, "A team of scientists can verify that their five-year-long DNA study, currently under peer review, confirms the existence of a novel hominin hybrid species, commonly called Bigfoot or Sasquatch, living in North America. Researchers' extensive DNA sequencing suggests that the legendary Sasquatch is a human relative that arose approximately 15,000 years ago," end quote. The study also said, quote, "Our data indicate that the North American Sasquatch is a hybrid species, the result of males of an unknown hominin species crossing with female Homo sapiens," end quote. However, as revolutionary and exciting as this information might be, Other scientists and experts are quick to point out that Ketchum's study isn't scientifically valid, as the study has not yet appeared in any peer-reviewed scientific journals. And although Ketchum says that it will, she is still keeping her evidence and findings very secretive. Deputy editor of the Skeptical Inquirer Science magazine, Benjamin Radford, said, quote, "If the data is good and the science is sound, any reputable science journal would jump at the chance to be the first to publish this groundbreaking information," end quote. Some scientists believe that Dr. Ketchum's evidence was actually contaminated, leading to inconclusive or unidentifiable results, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it belongs to Bigfoot, and Bigfoot should be the last option after all others have been ruled out. So far, nothing else has come from Ketchum's study since it was released in 2012. In 2014, 2 years after Dr. Ketchum released her findings, another Bigfoot study was done. This time, it was conducted by Oxford University and took place over a 3-year time period. Researchers issued an open call that asked for hair samples from museums and people's private collections, hair that supposedly came from a, quote, anomalous primate, which is the term Oxford uses to describe Sasquatch. Researchers were able to obtain 36 different samples coming from the U.S., Russia, Indonesia, India, and Nepal. When the hair was ran, it came back with numerous DNA matches, ranging from wolves, bears, sheep, porcupines, humans, and cows. Brian Skies, the head of the study, said, quote, "The fact that none of these samples turned out to be Bigfoot doesn't mean that the next one won't," end quote. The lack of scientific proof of Bigfoot's existence leads many to believe concretely that there is no such thing as Sasquatch. If there was, we would have found a body, some credible DNA, or have photographs or footage that isn't shaky or blurry. However, this lack of solid proof has not slowed down the stories of people who continue to claim they have encountered Bigfoot. In fact, just 2 days ago, January 25th, the Washington State Department of Transportation Twitter account tweeted a photo of a large unknown creature they caught on one of their trail cams, and many believe it to be a picture of the elusive Bigfoot. Prominent members of society have also had Sasquatch encounters. 32nd President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, or FDR, was a believer in Bigfoot and supposedly had his own encounter. In the 1800s, Roosevelt and a friend went hunting in Washington State. On this expedition, they met a local Native American man who acted as their guide on the trip and told them to stay away from a certain wooded area because of a creature that lived there. He and his friend did not obey the guide's instructions and decided to spend the night in the area, where Roosevelt claimed to have heard strange, unrecognizable noises all night that made him feel uneasy. A few years later, in 1890, Roosevelt went on to write a book titled The Wilderness Hunter, which starred a hunter named Bowman, who had an encounter with a wild, unidentified creature in the woods, which many believe was inspired by FDR's own experience. While doing my research for this episode, I found numerous stories written by people all across America who claim that they have seen Bigfoot. Many of these stories were of people who simply heard strange noises or had a weird feeling while they were out in the woods or went into the woods with the intention of finding Sasquatch. But I did not want to include those because I believe in the power of the mind. And if you're wanting something to happen so badly, I believe that you can imagine it to happen. I instead was looking for stories from people who were completely shocked and caught off guard and scared by their experiences. All of these stories come from BigfootEncounters.com, which has tons of other stories if you're wanting to do some of your own research. The first story I'm going to share is a very short excerpt written by L.W. Music from the Humboldt County Collection, which is inside the library of the Humboldt State University, which is actually the college that I graduated from. This is from a small booklet titled The Hermit of Siskiyous, and it was published in 1896 and is believed to be the first written documentation of a Bigfoot here in Northern California. It says, quote, "I do not remember to have seen any reference to the wild man, which haunts this part of the country, so I shall allude to him briefly. Not a great while since Mr. Jack Dover, one of our most trustworthy citizens, while hunting, saw an object standing 150 yards from him, picking berries or tender shoots from the bushes. The thing was of gigantic size, about 7 feet high, with a bulldog head, short ears, and long hair. It was also furnished with a beard and was free from hair on such parts of its body as is common among men. Its voice was shrill or soprano and very human, like that of a woman in great fear. Mr. Dover could not see its footprints as it walked on hard soil. He aimed his gun at the animal or whatever it is several times, but because it was so human, he would not shoot. The range of the curiosity is between the Marble Mountains and the vicinity of Happy Camp. A number of people have seen it and all agree in their description, except some make it taller than others. It is apparently herbivorous and makes winter quarters in some of the caves in the Marble Mountains. End quote. This next story was written 90 years later in 1986 and took place here in Humboldt County. It reads, quote, "A few weeks back, my friend Jake and I were in witness to the following of accounts. We were well spent after an uncommon day of awful heat cutting timber. Our days in these woods were usually of a cool and foggy nature, with the heat rarely becoming to our discomfort. After our supper, Jake and I were of mind to sit by the creek. With the next day being Sunday, we were able to enjoy an evening of our own doings. We were smoking and having coffee when we smelled something like a dead animal left to rot in the heat. I remember once coming upon a shot bear that this hunter could not trail, and it had laid and rotted for 4 days, by my opinion. It gave an awful stench, which would give many a disagreeable stomach. This scent was in similarity to that. We saw nothing out of the expected, but could hear a rustling in the brush just across the creek. A man could start to a run and jump fully across if he were determined of doing so. We saw a large man coming through the trees, and Jake stood up and asked what in creation it was. As I had just been looking towards the sun, my eyes did not give a clear viewing of what it was. I rubbed my eyes to have a look, and I was not in knowledge of what I saw. It appeared to be a bear at first, but we had not seen any bears in this area, and it walked as a man would on its two legs. If it was a man, he was covered with dark hair and long like the mane of a horse, and it was dark brown in color. Jake yelled out, 'Who goes there?' But this man beast did not make a response. It stopped in its tracks and looked at us from a distance of about 70 paces. We stood but were froze as we wondered of the type of creature we were in witness to. After just a moment or two, it turned and walked back up the hill in great long strides and with unexpected ease and swiftness. We heard it climb up the hill and all was silent. We noticed it walk for 20 or so paces, all of them upright. It had arms like a man's, but of a much bigger size and greater length than a man. It must have been of great strength as we determined it to be greater in height than 7 feet. We said nothing to our supervisors, as loafing and insubordination would get you off and looking for employment in other parts. Too many men wanted too little work, so saying anything that would attract attention to yourself in a manner not deemed proper was not born of a good idea. However, an Indian named Joe, who frequented our camp to vend his wares, had told of a mountain giant uncommon to these woods. I explained what we saw, and he said his people often saw these giants. However, he said that most would see them in late night or darkness. The giants did not care to be seen and were quiet and careful to be hidden. Joe said that he could find tracks all along the creeks and rivers of a morning. I swear the events written here is the truth and happened with us being of a sound mind and in sobriety." End quote. And the last story I'm going to share took place in Washington in the year 2000. It says, quote, "I was just visiting a friend of mine who lives in Stratford, Washington State, about 100 miles east of Seattle. The second night I was there visiting, we drove into Seattle to check out the local nightlife. At about 2 a.m., we left and started driving home. As we neared his home, the area around Blue Lake, we stopped at Route 17, somewhere south of Sun Lakes South Park, to relieve ourselves. The time was around 4:30 a.m. We pulled over to the side of the road and walked off into the bushes. Within moments, I heard off to my left a very loud noise as if something was coming towards us through the forest. I was rather nervous, so I hurried back to the car. As I reached it, my friend came running towards me. We sensed something following us at a distance, got in the car, shut and locked the doors, and waited quietly. Out of the forest came the strangest thing I've ever seen. It must have been Bigfoot. I've spent some time living in Maine and the Northeast, so I have exposure to bears. I am most certain this was not a bear. The creature seemed agitated. Perhaps when we walked off into the woods to relieve ourselves, we startled it. It approached the car and walked around it, looking at it and us. When it moved to the front of the car, we could see it was about 6.5 to 7 feet tall and covered in reddish-brown hair from head to toe. It stood upright, although with a hunch, and appeared to be bipedal. It approached the car and came around the front. We quickly flicked on the car headlights, and this is when we saw it best. We were so scared that we sounded the horn, hoping that it would scare it off. At this point, the creature made a kind of chortling sound, similar to that of an African dog. Just then, he reared back and pounded the hood of my friend's car. Perhaps it was agitated by the sound of the horn. It took off into the woods, and we hit the road as fast as possible. We returned 3 times over the next few nights, but never saw anything else. There were no tracks around the spot where we parked, only some crushed grass and underbrush where the creature had walked and where we had entered the woods. Hopefully this information is helpful. I'm not willing to publicly discuss the sighting due to fear of ridicule and loss of status within my community. End quote. So we have thousands of Bigfoot encounter stories. We have hundreds of blurry and grainy photos and videos. We have footprint molds, and we might have hair that belongs to an unidentifiable creature. Do these things prove that Bigfoot is real? Some believe that yes, these clues are definitive proof that Sasquatch is a real living creature. They believe that Bigfoot hasn't been found because they do not want to be found. They live in groups, stay away from humans, and if one dies, their family takes their body away so that it isn't discovered. Many believe that Bigfoot is a peaceful and docile creature that shouldn't be hunted, but that we should respect and allow them to live in solitude in the wilderness. Others believe that Bigfoot is not real because we don't have any concrete evidence to prove their existence. Anecdotal stories are subjective, and people can make up any story they want and claim it to be true. We are yet to produce any clear photos or footage of a Bigfoot, and the foot molds can easily be recreated by humans. There are some who think that the notion of Bigfoot is ridiculous, and that believing in it is right up there with believing in leprechauns and fairies. And then there are people like myself who want to believe in Bigfoot, but can't make that leap into truly believing. I have been interested in Bigfoot since I can remember. I love the idea of there being a mysterious creature out there that has eluded humans for centuries. I love the idea of Bigfoot being a peaceful, reserved being that just wants to be left alone with their family. However, I can't fully believe until I see some concrete evidence, even if it's just a personal encounter in the woods. I think that we need scientific proof, such as DNA or a dead body, but I trust my own judgment enough to know that if I saw one in the woods, it would make me a believer, even if nobody else believed me. I don't want to say that the thousands and thousands of people who believe they have witnessed Bigfoot are liars, because I wasn't there with them, and I just don't think that that's fair. My dad had a friend who sadly is no longer with us, but this man was a very experienced hunter and outdoorsman. He would go up in the mountains alone for days on end and always felt very safe and comfortable out there. He told my dad about the only time he ever felt uneasy and that he knew that something big was watching him and following him, and he thought that it could possibly have been a Bigfoot. This man was not the type to tell stories or believe in fantasies, but how can I discredit him for having this personal experience that nobody else can attest to? To me, the idea of Bigfoot is similar to that of ghosts. Many people don't believe in it until they have a personal experience, and they are almost forced into believing it because nothing else can explain what they witnessed. I think that some of us believe in Bigfoot too because it gives us some kind of hope. I think that believing in something that we can't definitively prove is human nature. We dream about outer space and discovering what might be out there. We theorize about what could be in the depths of the ocean and if ghosts and aliens are real. So why not be hopeful that there is a creature so similar to us that is alive and thriving on their own without human interaction? I think Bigfoot ties us to our primal roots and allows us to think about a time when humans were hunters and gatherers, and we lived in communal groups and lived off the earth. As time goes by, we are getting further and further away from nature. We're living in big skyscrapers, and we have our eyes on technology at all times. Maybe the belief in Bigfoot is us just yearning for a connection with the natural part of life again, and us just subconsciously wanting to be more wild and unstructured. Journalist Robert Pyle wrote in his book, Where Bigfoot Walks, quote, "To hunt for Sasquatch, you have to live like one. It requires spending countless days in the wilderness, either alone or with a mere few, disconnected from modern technology and instead connected to nature. It's both exciting and comforting for people to think that a somewhat intelligent bipedal hominid could live undetected and free in the wilderness, and people like to entertain the idea of doing that themselves. These guys don't want to find Bigfoot, they want to be Bigfoot," end quote. Some also believe that Bigfoot simply gives us hope for our planet in a time where things such as climate change, natural disasters, and deforestation are a constant worry for humans. UC Berkeley folklore professor Lynn McNeil said, quote, "For some believers, it's a better world if Bigfoot can be real. It says something positive about our ecosystems and our environment. It says something positive about our retention of wilderness spaces. It says something positive about the fact that we maybe aren't utterly destroying the planet we live on if a species can remain hidden and undiscovered," end quote. And the last quote I'm going to share comes from arguably the world's most well-known primatologist, Jane Goodall, who famously studied chimpanzees in Africa. When asked about the existence of Bigfoot, she said, quote, "I'm not going to flat out deny its existence. I'm fascinated and would actually love them to exist. Of course, it's strange that there has never been a single authentic hide or hair of the Bigfoot, but I've read all the accounts. Of course, the big criticism of all this is, where is the body? You know, why isn't there a body? I can't answer that, and maybe they don't exist, but I want them to," end quote. So what do you guys think? Do you believe that Bigfoot is real? Or do you believe that Bigfoot was made up by humans centuries ago and that people are still imagining to see and hear them? If you're from Humboldt or the Pacific Northwest, is Bigfoot something that you hear about or talk about often? Do you have any personal stories yourself or stories of those around you who think that they have seen Bigfoot? I want to hear it all. Like I said, this is one of my favorite topics, and I love hearing people's stories about Bigfoot, and I want to hear your stories and what you guys think. You can find the show on Facebook and Instagram at Weird on the Rocks Podcast, Twitter at Weird_Rocks, and the website weirdontherocks.weebly.com. And as always, thank you so much for joining me today. And until next time, cheers and stay weird.
That was a Titancast episode.